Well, if you have your Bibles, we're going to go right into the Word this morning, and I'm going to have you turn to two places, Psalm chapter 95 and Hebrews chapter 3. Psalm 95 and Hebrews chapter 3. And we have been working our way through the book of Hebrews, and it has been wonderful. Would somebody agree? Yes. It's been awesome. I believe that there is such a picture that the Lord is wanting to bring to our hearts of who He is. You know, sometimes we think of God, we think of Him as some aura or just some spirit, but how many of you know Jesus is God, and Jesus is seated in heaven at the right hand of the Father, and He is in the flesh making intercession for us, amen? And He is our high priest. And I love the book of Hebrews because it gives us such a clear picture of who He is and how we minister to Him and how He blesses us and pours Himself out for us. And last week, we took a look at Hebrews chapter 3, and we talked about being devoted to Jesus. How many of you know there is nothing better that you can be devoted to than Jesus? Yeah. Amen? That there is no greater accomplishment in life than to be desperately and helplessly in love with Him, with all of your heart, with all of your soul. Didn't Jesus say that is the greatest commandment? To love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, and all your strength. And I think sometimes it's easy for us, especially if we are doing well in life, that we kind of just put God on the back burner. But how many of you know we should be looking for Him wherever we go? Yeah. That He really is everything. That He is our all in all. And sometimes we will sing words like that, and we'll sing powerful, powerful words. Aren't you guys thankful that we get to partner with heaven and bring glory to Jesus? And when we do that, we sing words that are meaningful, and they're not just songs, and we don't sing based on how we feel. If we sang to Jesus based on how we feel, it would kind of just be hands in the pocket and just kind of, okay, here we are, you know, just kind of mumbling. But that there is a heart that is to be thankful, a heart that is to be joyful for who He is and for what He's done. And so when we say words like, you are my all in all, what does that mean? It means that everything I do, everywhere I go, I'm looking for Him. And did you know that when we do that, you will see Him? Amen? You will see Him. And so we talked about being devoted to Jesus. And we saw at the end of chapter 3, that for those who believe, there is this promise of rest. Everybody say rest. There is a promise to enter into His rest. And we're going to go back to the end of Hebrews chapter 3 today. But before we do, I want to first take a look at Psalm 95, starting at verse 1. Now, this is a psalm that was written by David, and Scripture, God Himself refers to the psalmist, to David, as a man after His own heart. I mean, wouldn't you like that to be your reputation? That you are a man or a woman after God's own heart. So this was written by David, inspired by the Holy Spirit. But listen to this, starting at verse 1. It says, "O come, let us sing to the Lord. Let us shout joyfully to the rock of our salvation. Let us come before His presence with thanksgiving. Let us shout joyfully to Him with psalms." And so the psalmist starts out right away talking about this place or this realm that we get to enter into. It is called His presence. Say His presence. His presence. It is the place of His presence. And Scripture is clear that God wants us to be in that place. Amen? Jesus said, all Scripture speaks of me. Meaning, from the very first verse of Genesis chapter 1, all the way to the end of the book of Revelation, He says, all Scripture speaks of me. And so when we are reading through Scripture, when we see that this is not just a bunch of stories, but that this really is about the Father's heart, about God's heart, that He wants nothing more than to be with you. What a satisfying story when we have that approach. that it's not just a story, that this really is God's heart being revealed to us, that he wants us to be people that come into his presence. And so the psalmist, who is being led by the Spirit, he gives us very simple instructions as to how we are to enter his presence. Now, sometimes I've heard people say, I don't know how to hear from God. Or they'll be like, I don't feel him. I don't feel like he's nearby. If you want to know how to be in the presence of God, it's right here. The psalmist gives us very simple instructions. We come into his presence with singing and with thanksgiving. I didn't quote the scripture, so you're good. We come, I was just kind of pointing out, we come into his presence with thanksgiving, shouting joyfully to the Lord, what? Who he is, what he's done, amen? When we do that, we enter into this place called his presence. And we see why we sing in verse 3. Look at verse 3, he says, for the Lord is the great God and the great King above all gods. In other words, we don't sing because we feel like it. We don't sing because, you know, the worship leader really had a good opportunity to warm up their vocals and was really hitting those notes. We don't worship based on the size of the band. We don't worship based on the style of the music. Let me tell you, I have been to very traditional churches and the Spirit of the Lord was there because people were entering in by declaring who he was. Are you with me? It's not about our style. It's not about our preference. We enter in not because we feel like it. We enter in because he is God, because he is worthy. And so the reason the Bible is telling us to sing is because so oftentimes as you go through life, you're not gonna feel like it. You're not gonna feel like giving thanks to God because all you can see in the moment is all the bad things that are happening, the way things aren't working out. And maybe God had shown up for you before, but man, it doesn't feel like he's done a whole lot lately. But how many of you know he is God? And there is a way that no matter what you feel, no matter what you see, no matter where you're at, that you can enter in. I say it often, but not only does God want to be draw near to you, he is available to you, meaning he is accessible. This is something that you can enter into at any time. His presence. Everybody say his presence. You know, I've mentioned this before, but God wants us to know him in all of his fullness. And we're gonna spend an eternity finding out who he is. Because he is the most consistent, the most faithful, but he's also new in every way. And we will never grow tired of getting to know him and to encounter him and to experience him. And we're gonna spend an eternity looking for him, but he wants us to know him in every single way. And so there are ways that scripture has given us that we can tap into the heart of God, that we can enter into his presence, where we can grow in our understanding of who he is, right? And if I was to, for instance, if I was to approach my wife and say, hey, honey, I really like you, but the best times are really when we go out on a date. And so I'm just gonna do my own thing and then I'll see you when we go on dates, but that's the only time, that's gonna be our interaction, okay? So we can go on dates, we can have all the fun, but when it comes to, you know, talking about financials and budgeting, I don't wanna do all that. How many of you know there is a deep intimacy when we open ourselves up in more ways than just what we like or what we prefer? That when we really open ourselves up to him, that he meets us in different ways and in different facets. I'll reserve this. I know there's people that have said, I don't really need to go to church to be a believer. That's true, but you're on dangerous ground because there is things that are reserved that can only happen when we gather together. And that there is an encouraging and an edifying that needs to take place because it is so easy to grow weary out there. Anybody know what I'm talking about? Anybody missed a couple Sundays and like, I need to get back to church? Why? Because there is something that God reveals to us that really is reserved for this type of atmosphere. There are things that are reserved when you come into the Word of God that He's going to show Himself to you and reveal Himself to you like you're looking in a mirror. There are things that He will do in your life that only is going to happen when you fast and you pray. You see, we don't get to pick and choose. The Bible is not an a la carte menu. We don't just get to say, well, I like this, but I don't like that. All scripture speaks of me. And so if we want more of him, if you are here today and you're saying, I want more of Jesus, I want to be closer to him, I want to know if he's real, then begin to enter in. Begin to do it his way, not your way. Amen? We good? Listen to verse 4. In his hand are the deep places of the earth. The heights of the hills are also his. The sea is his, for he made it. And his hands form the dry land. Oh, come. Everybody say, come. Oh, come. The psalmist is saying, would you respond? When we are in our times of worship, you know, we don't say, hey, let's just start giving thanks to the Lord because we just feel like it. We believe that there are anointed men and women of God that are invited to lead us into his presence. And when they say, let's lift our hands and let's give thanks to the Lord, how many of you know that is coming from the heart of God? And he's saying, would you enter in? Come, come. It's not religion. This is relationship. There is more to this than going through the motions. The Lord is saying, come. Oh, come. Let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord our Maker, for he is our God. Didn't we just sing this? Yes. It's like somebody knew. For he is our God, and we are the people of his pasture and the sheep of his hand. Now listen to this. Today. Everybody say today.
Today.
Today. When the psalmist wrote this, it was about 1,000 BC. And it's a long time ago. About 1,000 BC, and the psalmist is saying, inspired by the Spirit, today, if you will hear his voice, and then the Lord begins speaking, he says, do not harden your hearts as in the rebellion, as in the day of trial in the wilderness, when your fathers tested me, they tried me, though they saw my work for 40 years, I was grieved with that generation and said, it is a people who go astray in their hearts. And they do not know my ways. So I swore in my wrath, they shall not enter my rest. Today, I want to talk about Jesus, our divine rest. Jesus, our divine rest. What does scripture mean when it talks about entering his rest? If I was to ask you the question, right? A lot of Christians will say, I'm saved, right? I'm saved. If I was to ask you the question, what are you saved from? Many of you would immediately jump to eternity. I'm saved from an eternity in hell and I get to be with him forever. But I want you to go a little bit deeper. What is it that he has delivered you from? What things are concerning and troubling your heart today? What things does he want to do in your life? You see, there is this promise called rest, and it's something that we get to enter into. There is a rest to those who believe, and it is something that he wants to give. He wants us to encounter this promise of rest, and it belongs to those whose hearts belong to him. You know, you can accomplish many things in life. Success, wins, glories, promotions, health. You can accomplish many things in life, but even with all of those things, there can be turmoil in your heart. Amen? You can have all the riches, and you can be filled with turmoil. You can have all the success. You can have the best social posts. You can look good to everybody else, but on the inside, there is no peace. There is no rest. And God is talking about here, he's talking about a rest and a peace that comes from the inside. And so here, Psalm 95, David is writing. He's writing about 1000 BC. And he's saying, don't be like your fathers. Don't be stubborn. Don't allow sin to creep into your life. Why? Because it leads to a hard heart that causes unbelief. And that unbelief in your heart, it is evil in the sight of God. Don't be like your fathers. Don't be like that. Come. Let us worship. Let us bow down. Let us shout joyfully and give thanks to the Lord for who he is and for what he's done. You see, David, he wrote this 1000 BC, but he was referring to something that had taken place 500 years earlier. And it was when God delivered the people out of Egypt and he brought them out of bondage, out of slavery. There was no hope. There was no chance. They were in a corner. They didn't have a say in where they went or how they worshiped. They didn't have a say in if they got to be with their family or not. And God delivered them out of Egypt, and he brought them, and he said, I'm going to bring you into a place called the Promised Land. It was a place of peace where they were being provided for by God. But on the way, they were in the wilderness. They were making the journey to this Promised Land. And God, it was in God's heart, he was saying, I want them to know how to be with me. I want you to know how to be in relationship with me, because I'm a holy God, and you've gone through life and you've picked up some stuff. And it's not even all your fault. There's trauma in your life. You've been beaten. You've been abused. And I need to bring healing to your heart. Does anybody need healing? And God was saying, let me show you how to be with me. And as we go, you will enter this place called rest. Well, the people were delivered out of Egypt and they were in the wilderness. And what did they do? Rather than giving thanks, they complained. They began to grumble. And that complaining, that grumbling, not recognizing who God is, not keeping their eyes on the Lord, it began to turn into sin and their hearts became hard and they ultimately rejected God. Amen? And so 500 years later, David is writing this psalm, being led by the Spirit, and he's giving us this simple instruction, sing to the Lord. Come, sing, shout joyfully. And then I want you to notice God's response. It's as though God jumps in and he says, yes, do it. Don't harden your heart. Don't be like your fathers. Come, worship me and let me provide for you. Let me lead you in life. Let me heal your brokenness. Let me heal your heart and let enter into a place called rest. How many of you know God wants to be with you and he wants to give this to you? Amen. Are we good? Is this okay? Now listen to Hebrews chapter 3. Hebrews chapter 3, and we looked at this last week. Hebrews 3, I had you turn there. Some of you are clicking over there on your phones, getting there. That's good. Hebrews 3, starting at verse 7. Says, therefore, as the Holy Spirit says, who's speaking here? Say it a little louder. Who's speaking here? Okay, so even though David wrote this psalm, the author is verifying, no, this is the Holy Spirit speaking. As the Holy Spirit says today, if you will hear his voice, do not harden your hearts as in the rebellion. In the day of trial in the wilderness, where your fathers tested me, tried me, and they saw my works for 40 years. Let me just pause there real quick. Because I think sometimes we go through life and we have a prove it mentality. God, if you're real, show me. If God, if you're real, prove it. Do a miracle, do a sign, do a wonder. How many of you know many came to Jesus and demanded and said, do a sign and then we'll believe. And he said, I could do signs, but you will not believe. If you don't have faith to believe, you will not receive the things of God. Listen, he says, they tried me, they tested me, they saw my works for 40 years, but they still unbelieved. Therefore, I was angry with that generation. I said they always go astray in their heart, and they have not known my ways. So I swore in my wrath, they shall not enter my rest. Now the author of Hebrews begins speaking. Beware, brethren. Notice he's talking to born-again believers. He's writing to the church. And he's saying, beware, brethren, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God, but exhort one another daily while it is called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin, for we have become partakers of Christ if we hold the beginning of our confidence steadfast to the end. While it is said today, everybody say today, if you will hear his voice, do not harden your hearts in the as in the rebellion. Chapter 4, verse 1, jump down, says, therefore, since a promise remains entering his rest. Notice, today, there is still the promise of entering into his rest. So let me just break this down real quick. 1,500 years ago, Moses was in the wilderness with the people. God is trying to reach them, to be with them. They began to complain and they rejected God. 500 years later, about 1000 BC, David, a man after God's own heart, he comes and he says, come, let us sing, let us give thanks, let us shout joyfully. Then God comes in and says, yes, let me do that. Let me take care of you. Enter my rest. Don't be like those who don't believe. Don't be like those who won't worship me because they could not enter my rest. And then 1,000 years later, about 70 AD, the author of Hebrews writes, and he's saying, today, if you will hear his voice, do not harden your hearts. The original today was way back with Moses in the wilderness, but they didn't do it. David says, today, let us give thanks and sing to the Lord. Then 1,000 years later, the writer of Hebrews says, today, let us do it. And I want you to know the Holy Spirit is speaking today. Today, if you will come and you will worship me, don't be like those who are stubborn in their hearts, who don't worship me, who just are convinced that of doing it their own way. You don't have to be tired anymore. You don't have to be broken anymore. Come, be with me. Let me bring healing to your life. And so the Lord is saying today, sing, shout joyfully, give thanks and enter my rest. Amen. Everybody say today. Now listen to Hebrews 4, verse 1. It says, therefore, since a promise remains of entering his rest, let us fear lest any of you seem to have come short of it. For indeed, the gospel was preached to us as well as to them. But the word which they heard did not profit them, not being mixed with faith in those who heard it. How many of you know it's good to be in church, but it's not enough to be in church? It's good to read your Bible, but it's not enough to just get a check mark for the day. When we receive the word, it must be mixed with faith. What is faith? To believe. I don't see it, but there's something in me that believes it, and I'm choosing to partner with that. And when you believe it and hear it, it becomes beneficial to you. How many of you remember when Jesus said, to him who has ears, let him hear? Everybody Jesus was talking to when he began to declare that he was the Messiah, that he was the Son of God, everybody he was talking to had ears, but not all of them had ears to hear. How many of you know ears to hear are ears that are not just hearing words, but they are mixed with faith, receiving the things of God and believing them, amen? We could literally, and we're not gonna do this, we could literally come on a Sunday and just read through scripture. And if you had a faith to receive it, you would be changed. It would be food for you. You guys with me? What you receive out of the word of God is not based on how good of a preacher you're listening to. It's not based on, you know, anything except for, do you have a heart that is hungry and believes? Verse 3 says, for we who have believed, we do enter that rest. And he has said, so I swore my wrath, they shall not enter my rest, although the works were finished from the foundation of the world. How many of you know the work is finished? Somebody say amen. Amen. You don't have to save yourself. It's not about you being good enough. It's not about what you can produce. It's about who you're with. Are you with the one who has finished the work from the foundation of the world? Are you with the one who, when he was dying on a cross, looked to the Father and said, it is finished. I have completed my assignment. You see, it's more about who you're with than what you can do. The work is finished, but there are many who never step into the work that Jesus accomplished through the death, burial, and his resurrection. Verse 4, for he has spoken in a certain place on the seventh day in this way, and God rested on the seventh day from all his works. And again in this place, they shall not enter my rest. So the author's making a connection between when God rested at creation and with the rest of Psalm 95. Verse 6, since therefore it remains that some must enter it, and those to whom it was first preached did not enter because of disobedience. Again, he designates a certain day, saying in David, today, after such a long time, as it has been said, today, if you will hear his voice, do not harden your hearts. Listen, today is the day of salvation. Scripture says, seek the Lord while he may be found. Sometimes we can go through life and we think we have many opportunities to come to the Lord. Listen, you do not know what the future holds. You do not know that if you do not choose the work that he has accomplished, if you do not choose him today, you do not know where your heart will be in the future days. Do you know what I mean? If you go through this life without Jesus, your heart will get harder and harder and harder. It doesn't get easier. Don't think that you can go through life and then on the last day when you're in the bed and you know your life is about to go away, that you can just then say your salvation prayer. Praise God that there is an opportunity for many. But listen, seek the Lord while he may be found. There is nothing worth risking your eternity for. Today is the day of salvation. Amen. Yeah. Seek the Lord while he may be found. Verse 8 says, for if Joshua had given them rest, then he would not afterward have spoken of another day. Joshua was the one that led the people of Israel into the promised land. But there is a deception so often that when we go through life, we think that as soon as we get the stuff, we'll be happy. As soon as God blesses my life, then I'll follow him. As soon as God speaks to me, or as soon as God leads me, or as soon as I get that promotion at work that I've been praying for, as soon as he heals me, then I'll give my life to Jesus. Then I'll follow him with everything I have. You see, there is this tendency in our humanness that you do it and then I'll follow. And so oftentimes, even in the church, when we've been praying and asking the Lord for our healing, when we've been praying and asking the Lord to provide, when he does it, all of a sudden we're not seeking him anymore. And it exposes something in our heart that really, in our heart, we were more concerned about the stuff and it was never really about him. May we be a people that no matter what, if the Lord never did another thing for you, he's already done enough. Amen? He's already done enough. Everything else is just out of his goodness and out of his grace and out of his love. Now, does God answer prayer? Yes, he does. But may it never become more about the stuff. Amen? His rest is not found in the stuff. His rest is not found in the blessing. He is our rest. Jesus is our rest. And that's why we say he literally is everything that you need, because it's all about him. He is our rest. And so many of us are believing for God to do things in our lives, but it can't be about the things. It can't be about what he can do for us. It's about being with him. Verse 9 says, there remains therefore a rest for the people of God. Notice, his rest is not just available to anyone. It's for those who put their trust in him. It's for those who put their belief in him, who follow him. Verse 10 says, for he who has entered his rest has himself also ceased from his works as God did from his. Let us therefore be diligent to enter that rest. It requires something of us, and it always will, to come into the presence of the Lord. And it doesn't require material things. It doesn't require your good works. This is what it requires, and only. Lord, I give my heart to you. If you are here and you're saying, I'm willing to give him my heart, I'm willing to lay it down before him. But that's a hard thing to do, because some of us want to protect our hearts. Some of us want to hold on to things. Some of us want to keep doing things the same way. But scripture says, let us be diligent to enter the rest. That's why scripture says, lift up a sacrifice of praise. That's why you can literally walk in the church doors and walk out and be the same. Why? Because you didn't actually have an encounter with the living God. You are around people that believe in God, and maybe some of them receive some stuff, but you didn't receive anything. Why? Because you really didn't sacrifice yourself. Didn't Jesus say, if you want to follow me, let him deny himself, pick up his cross and follow me? Jesus is saying, I laid down my life for you. The only appropriate response is, Lord, I lay my life down to you. And when we do that, that is what it means. We are diligent to stay in that place, that we don't leave that place, that we don't leave his presence, that we would be people who are diligent to remain there. We are careful about what we put in and what we watch. We are careful about what we listen to. We are careful about the decisions we make, and that we don't tolerate sin. Why? Because we are diligent to enter into his rest. Amen. So let us be diligent. I'm going to close with this, and I'm going to ask that we stand together. Let's stand, and I want to close with this scripture here. Let's just bow our heads and close our eyes and just begin to fix your eyes on the Lord this morning. I believe the Lord's been speaking to your heart today already, but I believe there's more that he wants to show you. But scripture says, for he who has entered his rest has ceased from his works. And I believe that the Lord is wanting to bring himself to this moment to tell us, stop trying to make it happen for yourself. Stop spinning your wheels and enter my rest. Scripture says it's not by might, it's not by power, but it's by my spirit. You can't earn your salvation. You can't earn my rest. It is given freely to those who worship me, to those who put their trust in me, to those who give their heart and their affection to me. And I just feel like the Lord is saying, will you respond? Don't be like your fathers. Don't be like the ones who are stubborn in their heart and stubborn in their ways, who won't worship me. Can we just lift our hands, Lord, this morning? And let's receive from him. Jesus, we thank you for the gift of salvation. We thank you for what you've done on the cross. Lord, that we don't need to earn, that it's not based on our behavior, but you died on a cross and your blood was shed so that we could be washed and made new and set free. And that our righteousness is not based on what we can produce, it's based on who you are. That when you died on the cross and that you were nailed to the cross, our sin was nailed there with you. And that any who believe in you and declare who you are, that you would give them life. And so, Lord, we receive that today. We thank you, Lord, for the gift of salvation, that it's by grace through faith. Philippians says this, but what things were gained to me, these I have counted loss for Christ. Yet indeed, I also count all things lost for the excellence of the knowledge of Christ Jesus, my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things and count them as rubbish that I might gain Christ and be found in him, not having my own righteousness, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness which is from God by faith, that I may know him. Oh, that we may know you, Lord. Come on, just begin to ask him, Lord, that I might know you, that I might know you fully. Lord, would you teach me how to worship you? Would you teach me who you are? Would you show me the things that you have for my life, that I might know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, being conformed to his death, if by any means I may attain to the resurrection from the dead. Lord, we thank you for what you've done, Lord, and everything that we are, Lord, we count it as loss. Lord, without you, we have nothing, but Lord, with you, we have life. Lord, we thank you for the rest that you have prepared for us. Lord, that it is a place that we can enter in. But Lord, let our hearts not be hard, but let them be soft before you. Let us have hearts, Lord, that are worshipful towards you, that declare who you are. Lord, that we would not be stubborn in our styles, that we would not be stubborn in our ways, but Lord, that we would have self-abandon. Lord, that we would have a self-sacrifice. Lord, that we would lay all things at your feet, and Lord, lay them at your feet, Lord, as all that we have to offering, Lord, that it be a sweet incense and a praise to you, Lord Jesus. We thank you, Lord. And if you're here today and you would like to give your life to Jesus, and maybe you've not done that before, maybe you're here and you need to do it again, I'm gonna ask that you look at me and just raise your hand. We're gonna say a prayer together out loud, everybody. But if you would like to give your life to the Lord, just raise your hand and look at me. Okay, amen. Amen. And I'm gonna say, let's all pray this out loud together in faith. In faith. In faith. But let's say this out loud together in a voice loud enough for the person next to you to hear. Say, Father God, I've sinned against you. And I know I've sinned. Forgive me of my sin. You promised me that if I would confess my sin, that you are faithful and just to forgive my sin and to cleanse me of all unrighteousness. Forgive me. Cleanse me. Jesus, I declare you are the Son of the living God. And you came to the earth, born of a virgin. You lived a holy and perfect life. You were beaten, mocked, spit upon, ridiculed, and judged for me. And you were nailed to the cross to pay for my sin. And you were buried to take my debt and to destroy my grave. And you came out 3 days later, risen indeed. And you are alive as the Son of God, seated at the right hand of the Father, and you will return as King of Kings, Lord of Lords, to judge the living and the dead. And today,
today,
today is the day of salvation.
Because of your love for me,
I give my life to you.
Come into my heart.
I give you everything.
In Jesus' name.
And from this day forward,
I am a follower of Jesus.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Can we thank the Lord this morning?
Amen.
The Lord is good. He's wonderful.
Hey, before you're dismissed, I just want to remind everybody,
if you gave your life to the Lord today, if you have not been water baptized, let's make sure to let's make it happen next week, okay?
Next week.
The more the merrier. We can't have too many. I mean, if we got to go fast, we'll go rapid fire, but no, we're going to sit in the presence of the Lord. It's going to be glorious. So be sure to sign up. Go to chapelvalley.org/connect, or you can just talk to me, but we would love to do that with you. But can we just thank the Lord one more time?
Yes.
Amen. All right. Well, we love you guys. You are dismissed. Thank you for being here. We love you, and we'll see you next week. God bless.